And welcome to episode 39, I believe.
Yep.
Of Around the Outside at IndyCar Podcast with your host, Chris and Ryan. We just got done watching the victory banquet.
That we did.
Of the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500. And I know we originally said that we weren't going to do a podcast this week because we're going to be on vacation, but we figured now's a better time to talk about it, why it's fresh.
Yeah, nice and fresh, and figure we knock it out here before we go on vacation.
So that's what you're going to get in this episode is just basically...
us recapping the 500.
Recapping the 500, a great day at the greatest racetrack in the world. It's always special to go out there, and we are so fortunate that we live in the same city to where we can get there in about 20 minutes.
That we are.
So
that we are.
We hope everybody enjoyed the 500, whether you were there live or whether you were listening to it on the radio or whether you were watching it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was something special watching Elio Castroneves win his fourth Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, for sure. So keep on listening and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side.
Here we go.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the sound of history being made at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway yesterday as we watched Elio Castroneves take away his fourth Indy 500 victory.
Yeah, that soundbite obviously coming to you courtesy of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
Yep.
Recapping the 105th running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500.
And what a race it was.
Holy cow, man. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, that is... What a phenomenal day.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful weather. Absolutely fantastic race.
Probably the best race we've seen there in a long time.
And, honestly. Storybook ending.
Yeah. Finally.
Mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, if you're not an Elio fan, I guess you didn't enjoy it, but by the looks of it, the vast majority of people at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway yesterday were enjoyed that win.
Yeah, it was a really cool environment to be in. People climbing the fence. I almost decided to do it myself, but by the time I decided that I was going to do, and it was too late. But, you know, that was a... I've never felt anything like that before, to be honest with you. It was quite the experience.
Yeah, it was really special as a dad taking his son to have you experience your guy become a member of the most elite and exclusive club in motorsports, and that is the four-time winners club of the Indianapolis 500. I was fortunate enough to experience that in 1991 with Rick Mears, because Rick Mears had been my guy since 1979. Really, since 1978, because in 78, he ran a car that was the same number as my quarter midget. That's why I really started liking Rick Mears. As trivial as that sounds, that was my road to Rick Mears fandom.
Yeah, for sure.
And then to watch him win, not one, not two, not three, but then in 91 win his fourth, and then to be able to experience that as a dad with my son, for you to be able to experience your favorite driver of all time win in a very similar fashion, because Rick Mears made his final pass for the lead on the outside going into turn one.
Yeah, for sure.
Just as Elio Castroneves made his final pass for the lead on the outside going into turn one to win his fourth. Unbelievable day.
Yeah, you know, like I think I touched on it last week, you know, Elio was, you know, still my all-time favorite driver. And besides you getting me into IndyCar and the 500 and everything, Elio's really the driver that got me into it. And he's been my favorite since I've been going in 06. And, you know, I never, after 09, after the, in 14 and 17, when he came so close, you know, I remember leaving those days just so disappointed. And once he left Penske last year, I never thought we'd be able to see it. But here we are with him, with Shank. And I'm telling you, man, those last two laps, I was shaking, tingling. I felt like I was being electrocuted. I've physically never felt anything that emotional throughout my body. Like from head to toe. It was such a surreal experience. It was really cool.
The Indianapolis Motor Speedway never fails to produce magic.
Yeah.
And you understand why, and now you understand why people keep coming back to this place. And I'm talking about primarily fans, let alone the drivers,
right,
and teams and team owners and, and what have you, but primarily fans. And they talk about it every year. There's fans. I mean, we watched it tonight. We literally just walked down here from watching the victory banquet.
Yeah.
We have probably watched the race
probably five times
back again since yesterday when we got home, at least five times all the way through.
Yeah.
And
I think I've seen the finish about 10 to 15.
Yeah. I mean, I've probably watched the last 30 or 40 laps at least that many times. And I tweeted this out on our Twitter page. Every single time I watch it, I still cry at the end watching Elio celebrate.
God, that was awesome. It was a really cool day, like you said. You know, I don't think it could have ended any better. You know, getting him to get his fourth, and you know, now it's the road to five.
The drive to five.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what happens. I tweeted out to Meyer Shank, not that they're going to respond to little old us around the outside podcast. But we're going to see LEO at Detroit. Listening to Mike Schenck tonight on the Victory Banquet telecast, it didn't seem like we were going to see him at Detroit.
Which I figured that would be the case.
But it's from a series standpoint, you kind of want your guy, your winner of your biggest event, the biggest racing event in the world.
Yep.
It would be nice to have him at every single race. Now, Elio is going to be a true champion and go on his victory tour and do everything he's supposed to do, and he's going to be an outstanding ambassador.
Yeah, for sure.
The Indianapolis 500, as he always was in the past. So, just an unbelievable day.
Yeah, really good race.
At the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And it was awesome to see history be made.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see history be made with one of our, and I say our because Elio's been one of my favorite drivers of all time, too.
Yeah.
You know, there are some years that you go, and the driver that wins is not really your guy. Mm-hmm. And he's not really at the top of your list.
Right.
And so you kind of walk away from the race going, man, you know, I really didn't want that guy to win. I mean, those years happen. When the years come around that it's your guy,
yep.
Those are pretty magical years. And
yeah, they are.
Even when they're not your guy, there is somebody out there in the 300 and some odd thousand people that are there who that's their guy.
Right.
And that's what keeps bringing these people back year after year after year. The guy that sits behind us, you know, the old guy and his son.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were talking to him yesterday, and he's been sitting in those seats since like 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And he said for 10 years before that, he was in the infield for 10 years. So the dude's been coming here since 1962.
Yep. Okay. And there's a lot of people like that.
There's a lot of people like that. I just turned 50 years old this month. This was my 49th race. I'm fortunate that, you know, I had a mom that took me to the track, you know, when I was one.
Yep.
And haven't missed one since. So those stories are abundant all around the track in all four corners.
That they are.
So having said that, we hope you enjoyed that that intro from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.
Yep.
Awesome for Elio Castroneves to join that elite club. Great race.
That it was.
Great day. And we will be back right after this break, and we'll break down this entire race.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast.
Here we go.
And welcome back to the Around the Outside IndyCar Podcast with our Indianapolis 500 recap. We really didn't expect to be doing this. I think in our last episode we said that we're going on vacation this week.
We were going
to
wait.
Yeah, we leave tomorrow, so we're going to wait till next week to do this.
But we just couldn't wait.
We figured, why wait? Let's talk about it now while it's hot and fresh. So let's break this race down.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good start. They called it jumbled on the broadcast when I listened to it, but it was pretty.
Dixon let them down pretty slow.
They were pretty tightly packed going into the lead, which is a lot better. I've seen a lot worse starts.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Kudos to all 33 drivers for getting through turns one and two.
Yeah, because it was pretty packed heading into Warren.
The first thing I saw was Elio Castroneves go to the outside.
Yeah. Passed two cars.
Passed a couple cars.
Got up into six.
But probably the most impressive thing I saw on the first lap was Will Power. Went from next to last, and he passed like seven cars on the first lap, all on the outside.
Yeah.
Will wasn't playing around. So.
No, not to start. And then really, this you could really break this race down in kind of stages. So. Yeah, obviously, we'll start with the first one, and you have Rinus VK taking the lead. Colton heard it before him, but Rinus eventually gets by him. And that's basically how they ran for that first full stint, was Rinus, then Colton, then Dixon.
Yep.
Get the yellow, or get to the first green flag pit stops, and we finally get our first yellow with Stefan Wilson.
That's
losing it under braking.
Yeah,
going
that's
into the pits.
Crazy, man. You start there with Stefan, but you look at how many
people
had that problem coming into the pits. Stefan Wilson did. Will Power did. He spun.
Yep.
Simona spun. He essentially put her out of the race.
Hunter Ray.
Ryan Hunter Ray had that problem.
Scott McLaughlin.
He had the
caused
problem.
Caused him to... He was on pace for a top five finish.
Yeah.
It looked like. He had a really strong car and... had a really good day going, and then he had his issue getting to the pits and caught a speeding penalty.
So I read an article that's way too high-tech for us to understand, but it was talking about how the teams have set these brakes up to where they kind of retract. The brake pads will retract off the rotor, so there's no drag. The brake pads aren't dragging the rotor, and they have less drag, so they retract off the rotor pretty fast. So even when these drivers pump their brakes, when they know they're coming in, those pads would just retract all the way off, and then all of a sudden they got like a dead pedal. Way too technical for me to understand. But
right.
So like you said, the race goes in stints, and the first stint was pretty uneventful, really. Once we got past the first two, three, four laps.
Yeah.
I remember one point in time they came on the PA system and said, "We've had, 50 some passes in this race so far." And I looked around, I'm like, "Well, where?" Where have those passes happened?
Yeah, for sure.
Because they weren't in front of us, but most of them were, as usual, they're at the end of one, or at the end of the straight into one, at the end of the back straight into three.
Plus the start. So you have a lot of positions being made. Well, then we get into the yellow, which really jumbled things up.
Man, that was a crazy,
big time,
crazy yellow.
It took them a while to figure everything out.
And lo and behold, the yellow leads to... the favorite, Scott Dixon, and several others, including
Alexander
Rossi,
having
to come in and do an emergency stop under yellow because the pits were closed because Stefan Wilson dumped it in the pits, right in the pit wall.
So these guys got to come in, get fuel, and then they can't get the car back started.
Right, because they ran out of gas.
So they go, him and Rossi both go a lap down early.
And what's crazy in that whole situation is, if you listen to our prediction show, Ryan actually predicted that something was going to happen to Scott Dixon, something crazy in the pits, something, and that I do believe you predicted Scott Dixon
in 17th place.
To finish in 17th
and
place.
And I lost my mind when the leaderboard was going across the big screen at the track, and I saw Dixon come up in 17th, and I said, "No freaking way."
Right, right. So, unbelievable.
I did, in fact, predict a big mishap or something for Dixon and him to finish in 17th.
But you go from the bottom up on this finishing order here, and obviously... And I'm on IndyCar.com, and I'm looking at the results. If you go to the far right column, it's the number of pit stops.
Yeah.
And that column right there can almost tell you, you don't have to look at anything else, and that column right there will tell you what kind of day you had. So, Stefan Wilson had one pit stop.
Kind of.
And I don't even think he made it to that pit stop.
No, he did.
obviously he had the wreck. Finishing 32nd was Graham, who, I'm telling you, my gut was right.
Your gut was right.
Graham had the car to win.
And, strategy to win as well.
He had the fuel mileage. He played it right, and then all of a sudden he comes in, left rear tire change or something happens. It looks like the lug nut fell out, and he reached down on his belt because all of them, they'll carry an extra lug nut on their belt, right? And so if something happens, if it falls out of the gun, sometimes it falls out of the gun.
Right.
And they got to reach down and grab that lug nut, rip it off, put it back on there, and then hit it with the gun. Didn't happen.
They sent him.
And they sent him, and he was hustling. And all of a sudden, the wheel comes off, and he ends up in the wall.
Which sucks.
Which was bad. And then all of a sudden, part of that accident, whole thing was...
Affects Connor.
Our other boy, Connor Daly.
Connor led a lot. He led 40 laps, so that kind of second segment of the race was the Connor Daly show.
He led the most laps in the race.
Yeah, so... And he looked good, too. And I haven't heard a cheer that loud, which we'll get to Elio's cheer, obviously, which was quite loud, but when Connor Daly took the lead of that race,
right,
that crowd went insane.
And we'll get to there. But Graham was 32nd, Simona was 31st, which, I mean, she didn't really deserve 31st. As we predicted, they showed their team during hot pit stops.
Yeah.
I think I even tweeted that out today, and I misspelled there, and I misspelled pit for pot, or so I don't know what
it was. You got to start double-checking your tweets. I'm going to have to set up a system where it sends it over to me so I can proofread
it. I got to slow down a little bit. But great day for those. I mean, for that crew, everybody. I mean, 31st, she gains two spots. You know, it's a positive. Will Power comes home 30th. Should have been a whole hell of a lot better than that.
He was in, I want to say, like 12th or something at some point.
He was up there, and then he spins in the pits. And then going back to the number of pit stops you had, finishing in 29th place with 10 pit stops, Alexander Rossi.
Yeah, for sure.
When you have 10 pit stops...
You did not have a good day.
And the winner has 5... you're going to finish in 29th spot. So,
right.
You know, quickly going up, Ed Jones, Felix Rosenquist, Seabass finished 26th, Pietro Fittipaldi 25th, Max Chilton 24th. Kind of a solid day for him.
Right.
Really didn't hear much out of him. He runs around at the back for most of the race, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton Kellett was in a lot of people's way.
He was.
I mean, he's almost become the new... Charlie Kimball.
Yeah, he's getting there.
For the moving chicane. Sure. Ryan Hunter-Reay had a solid race going, and then he lost his brakes and got a pit speed violation. I heard 0 out of James Hinchcliffe today or yesterday, finishing 21st. I didn't think I heard his name called once. I don't know if they even talked about him on the broadcast.
Probably not.
But
he wasn't in the race.
He comes home 21st, and then 20th, finishing 20th. Again, another guy that had a top 5 going.
Yep.
Lost his brakes, Scott McLaughlin. But still brings it home for Rookie of the Year. And there's another guy, you look over at that column, he's got 8 pit stops.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott McLaughlin is your Rookie of the Year, which is awesome. I'd much rather it be Scott McLaughlin than Pietro, just because he's a Penske guy.
Yeah, for sure.
A Penske guy.
For sure.
Finishing in 19th, Marco Andretti. So Marco goes from 25th to 19th. Jack Harvey had kind of a lackluster day. He wasn't really, never really had anything going.
No, he never did. You know, he was another guy you never really heard anything about.
Started 20th, finished 18th.
Just an average day.
Then we get to your boy, Scott Dixon.
17th.
Unbelievable.
Can't believe I predicted it right. That but is here great. We are. Here we are. And then the next guy in 16th, you have Colton. We kind of sat there after because he was in that lead pack the entire day until kind of that last when it became the Elio and Pillow show with Pato mixed in there.
I don't even know what happened to Colton.
He must have had I don't know.
I mean, we've watched the broadcast over and over and over again. And I don't really
start paying attention to what happened to Colton.
Yeah, I don't really even know what happened to Colton and why he came home in 16th.
Yeah, that's weird. It is weird. 15th, JR. And then in 14th, as we said, he always finds his way in the front at Indy at some point. Takuma Sato leading 7 laps.
And he was leading at the end.
He almost made it.
So
he came pretty close to being able to make it.
He had to finish, or he had to get some better fuel mileage, but
yeah.
I don't think that was going to happen. And then finishing 13th is our 1A, our dude, Connor Daly.
Really strong day, man. Really strong day for him.
We said, and we talked about this earlier today, we said at the very beginning of the week.
Yeah, and then after watching practice and stuff.
There were 3 guys that we thought had the cars to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Daly.
Led the most laps.
Simon Pagenaud.
Went from 26th to 3rd.
And Elio Castroneves.
Won the race.
Simon and Connor Daly were studs during practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you watched it on Peacock or if you were there watching it in person.
They were able to work through traffic quite easily.
Easily.
Yeah. Which it showed for Simon yesterday. Went from 26th to 3rd.
Right.
Passing Pato on the last lap, so.
But those 3 cars
that
we knew from watching were good, all were good today. And they all should. Connor Daly didn't deserve a 13th place.
The only reason Connor was as far back as he was is because he got hit by the tire Graham lost coming out.
Well, he comes in. I mean, he's nose to tail with VK, which he... We were listening to him on the scanner, and I don't think he really agreed with VK. VK got past him. He let VK pass him, and then VK immediately, VK passes him going down the backstretch into turn 3. VK comes around 3rd, 4th turn, then he goes right into the pits.
Right.
Connor disagreed with that strategy. He was like, I know he's, and we listened to him say this on the radio. He said, I know he's our teammate. But we should not have let the 21 by there, which I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree. Well, then all of a sudden, Connor goes into the pits, and he's got a bad pit stop. I think it's his left rear tire changer also.
So he ended up going, before the other leaders pit, he ended up going a lap down there for a little bit before they pit. So he lost a lot of ground right there. And that kind of put him in that position to be where he was when Graham came out of the pits. And, it was just small stuff like that, that can cost you this race. Anything can happen in this race. And the smallest mistake on pit stops can cause a huge disaster on track. And that tire hit him. It broke the front wing adjuster, so they couldn't adjust his front wing angle anymore.
There was a huge gap. Gap in his. I don't know how he drove the damn car.
Yeah.
Connor and look, that's our guy, and we love us some Connor Daly. But Connor Daly proves every time he goes out there what he can do in good equipment.
Oh yeah, I mean he's one of the better drivers. I mean,
and I'm not saying that. And Ed Carpenter gives him good equipment.
Oh yeah,
I will tell you that right now.
He's a great driver, man.
I mean, what would he do in a Penske car, Ganassi car, an Andretti car? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, week in and week out.
But I mean, look at Rinus VK. I mean, he's won.
He just won the Grand Prix.
Ed Carpenter car. Yeah. So Ed Carpenter's a great race team.
Yeah, for sure.
So kudos to Connor Daly for a great month. for leading the most laps in the Indianapolis 500. I hope and I know that you've posted that. You went back and you it gives you tears in your eyes or chills watching it on TV. But when you took the lead, the cheers from the fans that were in the stands was unbelievable.
It's quite loud.
It was quite unbelievable.
Really cool environment.
It matched that of Elio's.
Yeah, it did.
I would tell you that right now.
Those were the two largest cheers of the day, for sure.
So that takes us up to 13th spot. We're going to take another quick break right now, and we will come back, and we will go from 12th to 1st, talking about the 105th run of the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
And here we go as we wrap up the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500. Just wrapped up talking about, my voice is struggling tonight.
Going to the top 12. I'll take us over here.
Well, dang, dude. I got this.
Going
jeez,
from
old Pete's.
12th to 1st. Finishing 12th. Really, a strong day considering where he started. Joseph Newgarden.
Starting 21st.
Starting 21st, finished 12th.
There for a while, we thought he was going to have a shot to, strategy-wise, be there at the front.
OTC Tim Cindric had done it again.
Yeah, he didn't, though. That's the third.
But he was right there on it, man. Five pit stops. That's what Elio had was five pit stops.
Yep.
So, methodically worked his way up from 21st to 12th. So, finishing in 11th, Marcus Ericsson. So he goes from 9th to 11th.
Yeah, if you look, he had six pit stops. So I believe he tweeted out he was one of those guys that had an emergency fuel stop.
Yeah.
I don't think he did. I don't think he went a lap down because of it, but it sent him to the back. So
right.
He was another guy that probably would have been up there towards the end.
There was a lot of guys that got hosed.
Yeah.
From that first yellow.
Yeah.
So which kind of brings me to. Sometimes there's an advantage when you're a team and you're running six cars because it gives you six bullets to try to win the race.
Yeah.
But it also gives you six cars to where one of those cars can jack something up and have an adverse effect on the outcome of your race, which it had an adverse effect on Tony Kanaan. So I think Tony Kanaan was another one that got caught out.
He was another guy that ran out of fuel there under that first yellow.
That ran out of fuel. He had seven
or
pit stops.
He did.
Tony Kanaan, TK, starts fifth, finishes 10th. So to all accounts, probably not a stellar day for TK. He brings it home in the top 10 in the Indianapolis 500. His friend, Elio Castroneves, brings it home for his fourth.
Yeah.
But probably not the day TK was looking for.
Probably not.
So, then we start getting into the top nine.
We got a couple of drive of the days coming up here.
Juan Pablo Montoya, JPM. Did you see him when he ran out there to hug Elio?
Yeah.
Oh, JPM's not missing very many snacks. let me tell you that right
now.
He's
put on a little weight over the years.
Let me tell you that right now. But the man can still wheel a race car.
He can still wheel an Indy car around Indy.
Starts 24th, brings it all the way up to 9th.
Yep.
Impressive run by Juan Pablo Montoya.
That is too, because he even talked about before the race. He was like, "I don't think my car's very good."
Right.
And here he is, finishing 9th.
He brings it home top 10. Coming home in 8th is Rinus VK.
Guy who led the third most laps.
Got to be a disappointing day for Rinus. I mean,
yeah.
Looked really strong at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Chevy Honda battle. I know Elio, in his post race interview said, Honda gave him the power when he needed it. And I kind of tend to believe that because watching the victory banquet when they interviewed Pato. Pato said he just didn't have it. He just didn't have the speed to catch up with Elio. So,
right.
I think Honda had the better fuel mileage, too. Look at Graham.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Graham.
I do think it was more even than years past.
It was a little more even, but I think Honda still had a little edge.
Well, I know Paddle said he struggled, but, you know, you look at a guy like Simon, he was moving. I think if there was 10 more laps, you would have seen Simon kind of join the shootout there. But you never know.
It was a lot, just like you said, it was a lot more even than the last couple of years. But
yep.
I don't know. Other than Elio winning the race, you almost got to say that this guy who finished seventh is one of the drives of the day.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt. Sage Karam bringing it home, starting 31st and finishing seventh.
Awesome job for Sage Karam and all of Dreyer Reinbold Racing.
That was awesome.
Stoked for those guys. They led two laps. Five pit stops to go from 31st to 7th. There's another Chevy. So, again, telling you that it was pretty even.
Yeah.
Ferrucci goes 23rd to 6th. I don't know. Not much to say there.
Nah.
You know.
He's kind of gotten onto my bad list here recently.
Yeah, he's kind of, I mean, come on, man.
Kind of been acting like a little bit of a clown, I'm not going to lie. Just as he was described by someone else.
Right, so passing over that. So going, Ed Carpenter starts 4th, finishes 5th. Obviously not the day Ed won.
No, but I think he actually ended up in the back, so he worked his way back up to 5th.
Well, he ended up in the back because he stalled it on a pit stop.
He did do that.
I'm telling you, man, this race, you've got to be damn near perfect.
Yeah.
If you're not damn near perfect, you typically don't win the race. The year Montoya won, his second one, when he got hit from behind by Simona, that stuff just doesn't usually happen.
No.
You've typically got to be perfect. And Ed stalls the car, ends up going back, and then...
Only recovers to 5th.
Recovers all the way to 5th, just like Connor. Connor had a bad stop. So, you know, they were slow on the left rear or whatever it was. It puts him back where he shouldn't have been, and all of a sudden he hits a tire, as in he said, that's just dropped out of the sky.
Yeah.
Crazy. Pato O'Ward.
Yeah, what a good, really good day for Pato.
Started 12th, finished 4th.
He ran in that top three pack. I mean, he was third for that whole last stint of the race.
And you and I looked at each other at one point in time and said, man, Pato is fast.
He had a really good car.
His car looked good.
Yeah.
And
he had a really good car, we thought.
Really thought he was going to be up there fighting for the win. He had the podium spot done until the last lap, and he let old Simon get him on the back stretch
in the last lap.
I was like, good Lord, man. But bringing it home third in another drive of the race.
Yeah.
Simon Pagenaud.
Started, what, 26th?
26th to third.
Bringing home third. You know, that's, again, like we said earlier, you know, we said all month he's got a strong car.
We said it all month.
It's honestly not surprising to see that, for sure.
Coming home in second, which I never really worried. I never really thought, even when he took the lead back with 5 to go,
that worried me a little bit.
I just knew, and Simon kind of even said it in his interview, in his post race interview. He was like, because he had a front row seat to it.
Yeah.
He goes, if you just watched Elio, he goes, he was just playing around. He was setting this guy up. He was learning his adversary.
Yeah.
And he knew exactly where he was going to make the move, when he was going to make the move, and that it was going to work. And
it did.
And it did. But Hats off to Alex Palou.
Yeah, great drive, man.
Great month after sticking it in the fence.
Yeah.
And then having to rebuild that car.
And they used that car, which I think was a big help for them.
He comes out and still sticks it in the top nine.
Yep.
Starts sixth, finishes second.
Could have won. I mean, and he looked like he could have won the race.
Led 35 laps.
Yeah.
He was strong, man.
He's really strong.
That guy is a good race car driver.
Yeah. I think he'll be in IndyCar for years to come and be pretty successful, I think.
And then we come to the newest member of the four-time Indianapolis 500 Winners Club, Elio Castro Neves. Starts eighth, finishes first, leads 20 laps. That's all he led.
But he was up there all day.
All day.
I think, not including, you know, when he pissed and other people don't, until like once everything cycled back out, he was never worse than seventh. And I think he was in seventh after one decently slow stop or somewhat slow stop.
I think I probably looked at him coming around on the first lap and I saw that he had picked off two or three cars.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, he's got the car.
Yeah, this was one of those years where he had a good car underneath him. And
he's got the car, you know, and
finally able to stick her back in victory lane at Indy again.
Early on in the race, it looked like a Colton Herta, Rinus VK show.
Yep.
This race is amazing how it just pans out.
It just shifts, you know.
And
like we talked about with Colton, I mean, he led 13 laps, but he also followed Rinus that whole stint.
Right.
Where Rinus led, and Colton just...
And he followed Elio for a long time, too.
Yeah.
You know, and even came on the radio and said, should I go ahead and pass Elio and get this race going?
Right.
Or should I sit here? And his dad came back and said, no, just sit where you're at.
Man.
I don't know, but we're talking about Elio again. What else is there left to say?
I mean, it was unreal. Unreal.
Has to be the greatest victory celebration ever.
It was pretty awesome.
That I've ever seen anywhere, ever.
Obviously, it was nice to see him climb the fence and then continue to run down the front stretch and then ran back all, you know, in between there, giving hugs to everyone in sight. And then...
And everybody in the paddock coming out to congratulate him.
Yep.
Getting kissed on the head by the Pope.
By Mario Andretti.
By Mario.
One of my favorite quotes when Will Power comes up to him and he goes, I kept looking up at the pylon and I was like, who the hell is the 06 car?
Right. Yeah. And then he calls him the effing legend. And,
yep.
And I mean, we love us some Will Power.
Yeah, for sure.
So... Hats off to Elio. Great job. And can we not say enough about Michael Schenck and Meyer Schenck Racing?
Yeah.
We have always said that we love us some Mike Schenck.
Yeah, Mike Schenck's a cool dude, man.
We have talked and had conversations with Mike Schenck. Now, having said that, he couldn't pick us up out of a lineup, right? Wouldn't have any idea who we are. But we have had conversations with him back in Gasoline Alley, back in the garages.
Just asking him questions about aerodynamic stuff and car stuff and whatever the case may be.
And he just takes the time.
And he'll sit there and answer.
To sit there and talk to you.
Yeah.
We have always said that Mike Schenck and that race team is one of our favorites.
Yeah.
We buy their merchandise. We've got hats. We've got buffs or, you know, face masks, whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
You just bought a Barstool.
Elio shirt.
Elio shirt.
Black and pink, like Meyer Schenck
Racing. I'm just waiting on Meyer Schenck Racing to put some stuff on their store.
Yeah, for sure. I'll probably get some of that, too.
We love Jack Harvey. This the whole thing.
Yeah, and you know, it's just funny how it all works out because, you know, Elio almost wasn't the guy they were going to go with. They were debating about going with the younger guy.
Right.
For that second car for these six races, but thankfully they finally settled on Elio.
I think they made the right decision.
And they definitely made the right decision winning their first Team Indy 500 and delivering Elio his fourth.
This was their first IndyCar win ever.
Yeah, and it's at the 500.
And it's at the greatest race in the world.
And a little fun fact for everybody. This is the first Indy one-off, even though he's running five other races. But the first non-full-time car to win the 500 since Dan Weldon did it back in 2011 with... who was he with that year? I know Herter called his race. I think he was with Schmidt.
Schmidt and Herter.
It was like a Schmidt-Herter.
Schmidt-Herter collaboration.
But, yeah. Like you said, I think they definitely made the right decision. And, you know, it was just awesome watching him win his fourth.
Right. So, unbelievable. Looking forward past the Indianapolis 500, which is hard to do because, like we talk about, we spend so much time gearing up for the race
right.
and looking forward to the race.
Mm-hmm.
And then race day gets here, and then in the blink of an eye, it's over. And just like I said it, as we're walking back to our car, we're sitting there talking about the race, and we're looking at each other, and we're going, damn.
One more year.
We got to wait a whole year?
Yeah.
To get to the 106th running? I mean, it's. I wish these things came around more often. But I think that's what makes it so special.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we look forward to the rest of the IndyCar season. I think we're going to try to get out to Gateway. We've been there the past couple years. It's finally back to a night race. I think we may try to get out to the road course race when they run that doubleheader with NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
But again, one last time, hats off to Meyer Shank Racing and Elio Castroneves on a historical day. It's always great to be out there.
Yeah, probably my favorite 500 of all time that I've been to.
Looking at the points, I don't like the fact that there's double points. I think it's a stupid gimmick.
I don't mind it.
Alex Palou takes the points lead, and he is, 36 points ahead of Scott Dixon.
Yep.
So Dixon took a pretty good hit in the points. So it goes Palou, Dixon, and then Pato. Simon moves up to fourth.
Yep.
VK's in fifth. Joseph is in sixth. Hurd is in seventh. Graham's eighth. Scott McLaughlin is ninth in points, which is pretty...
It's pretty solid
pretty
for him.
Pretty solid. Marcus Ericsson bringing home top 10 in points. And then Taku and Will. Here's the funny thing here.
Look at 14 and 15 here.
So Jack Harvey is 13th in points. Elio Castroneves, having run one race, which is the Indianapolis 500... A race that he just won. Because of that and double points at Indy, he is now 14th in points with 103 points.
Correct.
Who's in 15th?
The 27 machine of Alexander Rossi.
Who has run every single race. And he is behind a guy that has run one race. That's why double points are stupid. So, Ed Carpenter is in 16th. He has run a total of
three
races, two of them being a doubleheader.
Yep.
He is in front of Ryan Hunter-Reay and Sebastian Bourdais and the guy he employs, Connor Daly, who is 19th in points.
Felix Rosenquist.
I mean, a lot of people.
And
so,
Ed Jones and Hinch, and the list goes on and on.
So that's the important people. In the standings. So now we move on. We look forward to Detroit here in a couple weeks.
It'll be interesting to see how the rest of the championship now, you know, that we focus back on the championship mode. And
I was really hoping that out. I was hoping we'd see Elio at Detroit. Doesn't sound like we will.
No.
He's
busy doing SRX racing stuff, remember? He's busy.
I think he'd rather be in an Indy car. So,
You don't think he want to be racing like Bill Elliott and Willie T. Ribbs on dirt?
But having said all that, to wrap this up, we got a text or a tweet from our guy Lance,
right?
And I saw it late.
Yeah, we didn't see it till after the race started.
We didn't see it till then. I'm assuming that we were going to try to meet up, and we saw it too late. So, Lance, next year, definitely, we got to try to meet up.
Yeah, for sure.
We got to try to meet up pre-race, and hopefully we're back to normal and we get 350,000 people.
Speaking of back to normal, we haven't touched on this yet.
We haven't.
As one tweet kind of recapped it like perfectly. If there was only 135,000 people there, I will clean all the urinal troughs with my damn tongue.
Right.
Ain't no way there was only 135,000 people.
I think somebody told a little fib to the mayor. And I know they're stressing it. Because every interview that you see, it's like we had 135,000 people there. We had 135. I don't know, but man, our stand was packed.
It looked normal.
Turn four was packed. Down the front straights, turn one looked packed. I mean, turn two was packed. I mean, it was. I don't know, man. I'm not saying anything. Because I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. But hats off to Roger Penske and Doug Bowles and everybody out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Because
we had a good crowd on hand.
And absolutely nobody was wearing a mask.
It was kind of funny, you know, because we got there, 4 hours early, probably?
Yeah, we were there by 8.
Yeah, so we get up in the stands, and it slowly started to fill up a little bit, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, this is probably about 135,000 around.
Right.
And then more people just kept coming and coming and coming. And then I looked down behind the bleachers, and it, you know, you look at the people walking down below, and it just looks normal.
Yeah, it was, it was pretty impressive, and
they had to make all the money back. They hired all the blue shirt mask
Shirt mask sign guys. Yeah, that said, you know, I don't know, man. It is what it is, and it was what it was, and
it was a hell of a day, is what it was.
But that's gonna wrap us for this episode. I can't believe we're sitting here talking about we're done with the Indianapolis 500. I will say on a betting note, because we've talked about betting a lot. On a betting note, I did win $951.
That you did.
Off of this 500.
Off of accidentally betting on Elio twice.
I bet on Elio on DraftKings. And then I went back and I bet on Elio again, forgetting that I'd already bet on Elio.
Right.
I also bet on Elio on PointsBet. And I also bet on Meyer Shank being the winning team. So all in all, you add all that stuff up, $951 later, I'll take it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, that will buy my tickets for next year.
There we go.
So we're solid and we're set. So one other gripe next year, WTHR, can we please get back to a normal victory banquet where we interview all 33 drivers?
Yeah, that'd be kind of nice.
Where we pass out the checks, where they all get to talk. That's what we want. I understand we're still under the premise of quote unquote COVID. So you had everything outside and it was kind of the same way they kind of did it last year, but would like to see it get back to a normal type of program.
Yeah, for sure.
And we can't wait for another year to go by
and be back at the track
and be cheering on Elio for that drive to five.
Man, that'd be something.
We'd be cheering on Connor Daly for that first. There's a lot of guys we'll be cheering on.
Yeah.
Makes me proud to be an IndyCar fan.
Yeah, for sure.
Watching that celebration and watching all those guys come out from the paddock and other race teams to congratulate Elio. You don't see that very often. You don't see that very often in other series. I know some people would say, well, you saw it in whenever Earnhardt won the Daytona 500, and that was a pretty cool thing to watch, mm-hmm. too. But I think this series stands alone. I think it's the best series in the world. I think they're the most talented drivers in the world. They have to be good at a lot of different things, including super speedways. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for next year's 500.
Same here.
We talked about it earlier today with the storylines that are going to be going on.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
You're going to have Elio going for five.
And we are guaranteeing right now you will have Jimmy Johnson.
You're going to have Jimmy Johnson.
Guarantee it.
Trying to make the race. I'll bet you have Romain Grosjean.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Trying to make the race. And who else, who knows who else is going to be coming along?
Who knows, man?
Maybe
you get another guy, try to do the double.
So we hope you guys had a great time. We hope you guys followed along with us throughout this month. We appreciate the support, all the listeners. Moving on to Detroit.
On to Detroit, which we will preview next. Well,
not this coming week, but the following week.
Yeah.
Not this week. Probably Monday.
The Wednesday before the races.
Yeah. So you'll get us back next week previewing Detroit. So
yeah.
One last time, man. Congratulations, Elio Castroneves. You are the man. You are a legend, and it is great to have your face now on Mount Rushmore for Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
You got Foyt, you got Unser Sr., you got Rick Mears.
And now you have Elio Castroneves.
And now you got Elio Castroneves.
It's pretty cool.
Having said all that, we're out. Enjoy your week.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week when we preview Detroit.
Yep.
We're out.